Bibles tonight to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 5, Hebrews chapter number 5. I like hearing them pages turning of that good King James Bible. Hebrews chapter number 5. I want to begin our reading this evening in verse number 11. And the Lord has been dealing with my heart about this. And I have been talking much about going to another level. Have I not? And do we not need it? I believe I'm going to deal tonight with what is necessary. In fact, the only way I can see in the Bible to go to another level. And I'm going to deal with it. Hebrews 5, verse number 11. Of whom we have many things to say. And of course, of whom, you'd have to go back into the previous verses talking about Melchizedek, called of God and high priest, talking about Christ. And of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you're dull of hearing. I just ask myself the question, how many people are really missing out on a lot of things because they're dull of hearing? He said, there's things I want to tell you. There's a lot of things. There's many things that I have to say. Paul said, I've got many things I'd sure like to preach to you about Christ, but you couldn't handle it because you're dull of hearing. And I'm going to deal with that tonight, Lord willing. Verse 12, for when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you, and here's an important word, again. You've already been taught, but you didn't get it. You need to be taught again. Ooh. Where could we be if we'd have got it the first time? Where would we be instead of somebody having to go back, take time, take services that could be dealing with future and further things, progressive things, but yet we have to go back and still hand out some milk for babes that's been saved 40 and 50 and 80 and 90 years. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use, notice that word is important, that word use, who by reason of use have their senses, talking about your spiritual senses, exercised to do what? To discern both good and evil. We need a revival of discernment. Of discernment, and of course, as revealed in this verse, spiritual discernment comes out of maturity. Chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, in light of that, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on. Right there it is. Let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands, of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. What I want to deal with by the grace of God, of course, what these believers here wanted to do was, and what they had been doing, you can be seated. What they had been doing was they've actually, if I could just put it in easy understandable language, is that they have blown their spiritual life. They have basically done nothing for God. They'd been saved for a period of time. Paul referenced that. who for the time, there in verse 12, you know, you've been saved for the while that you should be teachers, but instead you are still on the level of needing to be taught the Word of God. Well, what these believers wanted to do, these Hebrew believers wanted to do, they wanted to go back to the start, lay again the foundation of repentance. In other words, they wanted to go back and get saved again. But Paul said, you can't do that. You cannot be renewed again under repentance. So instead of going back, and because they had so wasted their spiritual life, instead of going back to first base and start over and try to make wise choices, Paul said you can't do that, but you can pick up where you are and go on unto perfection. The word perfection, the word perfection means maturity. The word perfection, let us go on to perfection, means a state of mental and moral completeness. Something that is brought to its end, full grown, or of a full age. Paul said, you can't go back to first base because you've bloated and you've wasted your spiritual life thus far. Paul said, you can't go back there and start over, but you can start now. You can start now. And so that's the thrust and the gist of what Paul is dealing with in these verses. I've been dealing and meditating on the subject of going to another level. Our church needs it. I need it. You need it. Every church I go in and preach, there's a need of going to another level spiritually. And I just want you to know tonight that no matter what level you're on, there is another level. And then when you get on that level, there is another level, and yet another, and another, and another, and another. And therefore, this Christian life should never be boring. Amen. The spiritual life shall never become humdrum and boring, because there's always, as long as you are alive, there's new levels to experience for God and with God. Where we get in a mess is that when we start saying, this is enough. I'm close enough. I'm praying enough. I've give up enough. I'm doing enough. I'm going to church enough. And if you operate in that enough category and with that enough mentality, then you will not have a desire to go to another level. And I was praying about this thing of going to another level and asking God, how do we go to another level? How is it that we as an individual and we as a church, how do we go to in another level? And I would ask you, and I don't want you to raise your hand tonight, but I would ask you in this service tonight to be honest with your own heart and life. Be honest with yourself. You'll never be spiritual until you're honest. You'll never go to another level until you first have some honesty about where you are spiritually. Amen. So ask yourself tonight and answer it on the inside. Do I really want to go to another level? Amen. Now, I mean, it'd be easy for us all to do this number. But this number right here don't mean nothing sometimes. Amen. Honest with yourself. Do you want to go to another level spiritually? Do you want to go to another level in your experience of God, with God? Do you want to go to another level in your accomplishments for God? Do you want to go to another level in your prayer life? Do you want to go to another level in your relationship to the Word of God? Amen. Do you want to go to another level with your influence? And we could go on and on and on. But the question still is, ask and should be answered in your own heart with honesty. Do I really want to go to another level spiritually? You say, preacher, why are you laboring on that point? Because if you don't want to go to another level, you might as well take a nap while I'm preaching. Nothing I will say will help you. Nothing that I will preach tonight will help you if you do not want to and desire to and are willing to be instructed on how to go to another level. Preacher, how do you go to another level? I believe, here it is. You go to another level by growing to another level. That's how you get to the next level. You got to grow to it. How many people in church today, even in RBT, is growing? Can you see growth in your life? Are you growing in relationship to the Word of God and so on and so forth? Let me ask you this tonight. Growing physically, if you were not growing physically, or your children were not growing physically, would you be alarmed at that? You know why? If you were not growing, or your child not growing physically, you know what you'd say, Miss Bubba? Something wrong with it. Growth is natural. Growth is normal, and growth is noticeable. If you as a parent do not see growth in your child, automatically you think something is wrong. But I want to ask you tonight, are you concerned about spiritual growth? Some of you may look at your life and you don't see spiritual growth. And I'll just be honest with you, and I'm not being mean tonight. As your pastor, there's a lot in our church I don't see any growth in. Spiritually, I don't see any growth in. Amen? And Brother Mark, I've been saved 31 years, but I'm seeing growth in my own heart. I'm seeing growth as God is challenging me about different things. Amen. Now listen, we go to another level when we grow to another level. So I'm preaching tonight on growing is going to another level. Or I could use this, Brother James, as a title tonight. I could use this because this is what was happening with these Hebrew believers. Are you listening? Here it is. They were growing old, but they weren't growing up. They were getting older. Whereas we are. Once a year we have a birthday. Seems like I have two a year. We're growing up, but that's not, we're growing old. These Hebrew believers was growing old. They'd been saved for a period of time. But they weren't growing up. We use that term. Brother Silas, we use that term when we're talking about people in their physical growth. We're saying, wow, they're growing up. Right. You see somebody that maybe you haven't seen in a while, and maybe they've grown from like this to like this. Some of these kids around here, I can't get over it. They were once like this, you know, and I'd have to look down. Now I have to do like this, you know, to hug them. They're as tall as I am. Some of them bigger than I am, taller than I am. But we use that term, well, man, they are growing up. Growing what direction? up? Are we growing up with God? The most definite sign, I believe, of being saved is growth. The most definite sign of having life is you're growing. Now, these flowers up here on the communion table, from a distance, they look real. In fact, up sort of close, if you can't see too good, they look real. But in fact, they're not real. They're the same color. They're the same size as they were when we first got them, whenever that was. You know why they're not growing? They're not alive. They have no root system. They have no nature. They're imitation. They're man-made. They're fabricated. Hey, how many people in church never grows? Could it be, and I'm putting it in a question, not a statement, could it be that they are imitation? That they are not real, that they do not possess a nature and a root system that requires food and water. Food being the Word of God and water being the Spirit of God. Are you growing up, growing old, but not growing up? Going to another level is in fact a maturity issue. If you want to go to another level, you're going to have to grow to another level. Amen? The key word to the book of Hebrews is the word better. All the way through it, used many, many times, better. But the truth is that you will never experience nor enjoy the better things of God unless you grow into them. Amen. That's what's being addressed in our text. They were not growing. Well, you can see this all through the Word of God. You can see it all through the Word of God. Let me give you some illustrations, or one in particular. When you talk about the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, type of salvation, and then they go through the wilderness, headed toward Canaan. And we all know that Canaan's not a type of heaven. Amen. But Canaan is a type of the Spirit-filled, selfless life. Out of the 2.5 or so million people that came out of Egypt and said they got saved, how many of that crowd went into Canaan? Two. Joshua and Caleb. That process, Brother Craig, from Egypt to Canaan shows growth. That is a growth process in the life of the believer. You get saved not by what you do, but by what God does for you. You get saved through a deliverer that God sends, and we know it to be Jesus. And His power is greater than that of Pharaoh or the devil that held us bound. But then you come into the wilderness, and that's a time of testing, and that's a zone of trials, and that's a zone of weaning you off of the world and showing you that God is enough. That all you need is God. Well, is that not growth? Going from I need Egypt to I don't need Egypt, I have God, that's all I need. That's growth. But then there's another level, the Canaan life. You know, during that time in the wilderness, God led them and God fed them. But when they came into Canaan, the manna stopped. The pillar of fire at night and the pillar of cloud by day stopped. Now in Canaan, they're starting to have to fight battles and giants and plant corn. Why? Showing that Canaan life is a life of responsibility. You enjoy the land flowing with milk and honey, and it's associated with responsibility and growth. And growth. How many people's growing? You've been saved a while? It shouldn't take God 40 years, as he did back then, to get you from out of Egypt in salvation into the Canaan life of the Spirit-filled life. Do you know that is true with that illustration? The majority of the people will never experience the Spirit-filled life. Do you understand that? Do we understand that tonight? The majority of the people that come into these altars and claim to get saved will never in their life, and it's their fault. It's not that God has barred them from Canaan. It's not that they cannot have it and enjoy it. It's that they make your choices based on feelings, based on faithlessness. Instead of, God, you, this is your will for me and I'm going after it. Most people will live and die and never grow into the full potential that God intended for you. Brother Tim, did you know that of those that went into Canaan, you know, that new generation, you know, that was born in the wilderness, that actually went in with Joshua and Caleb into Canaan, did you know that they still never occupied but about 10% of what God had given Abraham? Brother Clapper, you know what happened? They got in there and they got satisfied. They lost that drive that said, oh, this is great, but God has more. They lost that drive that said, oh, this is wonderful. This 10% that we're enjoying, oh, this is wonderful, but there's 90% more for us. Let's go on. Let's progress forward. Most people don't do that. And I'm telling you, our churches are in the shape they're in because of a lack of growth. A lot of churches are growing numerically, but they are not growing spiritually. They're growing numerically. They've got gimmicks and they've got all of these little things that are these attractants. But where's God and where's spiritual depth and where's spiritual growth at? Where's spiritual height at? And I, by the grace of God, make these statements about RBT. And there's more for us than what we've experienced. And praise God for what we have experienced. But I want to tell you, to God be the glory for what He's let us experience. The majority of churches will never and has never experienced the glory that this church has experienced. Are you listening? The glory of God does not come to you based on grace. Grace is unmerited favor. God visits and meets with us when we're making efforts to do what? Draw nigh to Him. When we are making those efforts and those moves to draw nigh to Him, what did He say He would do? If we draw nigh to Him, He will draw nigh to us. Growing old but not growing up. Growth is both inside and outside, even with the physical body. You grow inwardly and you also grow outwardly. How many people are doing that? How many people in churches today are growing outwardly and inwardly? Very few are growing, period. Some are growing inwardly. And a very small percentage are growing outwardly. But with the physical body that began with a birth, just so it is with the spiritual life that started with a birth, are they not both inward and outward issues? You grow inwardly, the outside grows with it. If you're not growing outside and you claim to be growing inside, something's wrong. But in the average preacher or in the average presentation today of a message, you don't hear that. You think that, well, the outside don't even matter. The body does not even matter. Well, I want to ask you something, and I've studied on it and I've preached it here. Christianity that excludes the body is nowhere to be found in the Bible. It does matter about how you treat your body. Your body, your physical body, is the temple of the Holy Ghost. I done quoted Romans 12. I'm not going to re-quote that, but it shows us plainly there that your body is to be a living sacrifice for God. Well, growth is inside and outside. Let me give you this. I'm just giving you some things. Growth is not circumstantial. Turn back with me, if you would, to Psalms 92, right quick. Psalms 92, I want to look at verse number 12. Psalms 92, verse 12. I'll give you 5 minutes there to find it. And if you hadn't found it then, just act like you're there. Look at verse 12. The righteous, that's saved people. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree, and I've preached on that here. But notice this latter statement. He shall grow like the cedar in Lebanon. Both the palm tree and the cedar tree that's illustrated in this verse or gave in this verse, both grow and flourish and are very productive in harsh environments. Those cedars of Lebanon grows on very hard and rocky and steep terrain. The palm tree grows and the Bible says flourishes. And that, you know, where the palm tree grows is in the desert, where it is hot and where it is dry. Now, I know what a lot of people think. Well, preacher, you know, if you lived where I lived and if you had the circumstances I have, you'd understand why I'm not growing. Wrong. God said the righteous is like the palm tree and the cedar tree. Both of them grows and flourishes and produces fruit and reproduces in harsh environments. Dry circumstances. Difficult circumstances. God's people are not sunshine Christians. God's people have within us the nature like the palm tree and the cedar tree that enables us to grow when nothing else will. To grow where nothing else will. People look and say, my goodness, you're going through that and you're still smiling, you're still going to church. And well, hey, what's the deal with that? Oh, I've got life from God that enables me to grow. Amen. Do you know what the saints are called in the Bible? The saints are called pilgrims. Do you know what one of the qualifications is for you to be called a pilgrim? Progress. A pilgrim is somebody that has not built a home. A pilgrim is somebody that is on the move. They're progressing. They're going forward. God said His people, you and I that are saved, we are pilgrims. We are people that are progressing. We're going forward. And we're growing up while we're growing old. Well, I thought that was pretty good myself. I already mentioned that growth is normal, natural, and noticeable. A baby does not grow itself. That's deep, isn't it? Well, there's a lot that we could say more about this thing of growth. But let's look in our text quickly for a few minutes if we could. If you take and look at the physical, and you look at that, the growth that you have physically, and compare that to the growth that you're supposed to have spiritually, you can find these things. You can find growth in the area of appetite. And our text deals with that. Chapter 5 deals with that meat and milk subject. Are you growing in your appetite spiritually? What kind of food spiritually do you feed on? What do you feed on? All I have to do is look at your spiritual diet. Look at what you love to feed on. Look at what you love to be involved in and what you love to concern yourself with. And that speaks volumes about you. A person, a baby that's born, that baby starts out with milk, but it does not stay on milk. It grows in the area of its appetite. When I was little, smaller, Mama had to distract me to feed me. I wouldn't eat nothing. I know that's hard. Y'all don't believe that. I know you. I'm talking, that illustrates my point. I'm talking about growing in the area of appetite. When I was little, I'm talking about young, I wasn't nothing but a bone. And that's no joke. Just a skeleton with skin wrapped around it. I mean, I could get out of the rain underneath a clothesline. My pajamas only had one stripe in them. That's big, ain't it? I'm not kidding. I mean, I was just a bone. I mean, I didn't hardly weigh nothing because I wouldn't eat. I don't know why. They'd have to fake me out, you know, get me watching a cartoon where I'd get mesmerized with a cartoon and they'd slip one in there and I'd eat it. But boy, has that changed. I'm telling you, Brother Carroll, when I'm traveling, when I'm on the road, I'm thinking, all right, now if I eat now at this time, I'll be going through such and such a town at this time, and there's a Bojangles there, amen, and I'll have to stop in there and get something. After all, it's a tax write-off. You say, what happened? What was that? That is growth in the area of appetite. Spiritually, it is true. I started out on just a meager supply. I couldn't take much when I first got saved. But I want to tell you, my capacity of appetite grew the older I got and the longer that I've been saved. This crowd right here and that Word of God have been saved long enough. They should have been eating the meat of the Word and they should have been handling the deep things about Christ. But Paul said there's a lot of things, many things about Christ I can't even preach to you because you are still babies. You're still a little, you know, you're on your ABCs and you can't handle it. What about that? I just wrote that down. There's growth in appetite. Has your appetite grown? Spiritually, what do you feed on? And let me ask you this. Out of what you feed on in your life, in a 24-hour period or a 7-day week period, how much of it is spiritual?
Amen.
And you know what? Every time that I have sat down to eat, I had to make a choice to do it. It didn't just happen. I had to make a choice to eat. And I made that choice because inside of me is a craving. Inside of me is a desire that must be satisfied with substance. You're not growing in your appetite. You're feeding upon the things of God. You'd rather just as soon feed on carnal things. Have a choice to pick up the Bible versus pick up a toy. Amen. Which one do you have a greater pull toward? Which one do you have a greater drive toward? Is it that which will gratify and suit and satisfy the flesh? Or is it something that will suit and gratify the spiritual man? Growth and appetite. Growth and appetite. I wrote this down also. There should be growth in action. As you grow physically, your growth of action also grows. Or if I could put another word with that, your growth of ability. What you could not do at one phase or point in your growth cycle, now you can. Why? Because you've grown into that. How many of you are growing in your actions? How many is growing in the area of your action or your abilities? Amen. That's good preaching, preacher. Growth in the area of action. Growth. Some of you are going to get real quiet here, but it's all right. Not only physically, when I grow. Amen. I just got another one. When I grow physically, I'm growing in my appetite. I'm growing in my actions or my ability, but I'm also growing in appearance. Now, I know it's hard for you to believe this. Aaron and Sam, y'all got the baby. I'm sure you do. There was a time, how much that baby weigh now, approximately? About 10 pounds. I know you can't believe this. But there was a time that I was that size. Yeah. In fact, there was a time that I was half that size. Just a little over 5 pounds. Mama could put me in a shirt pocket. Amen. But look now. 5'10" and a half. Hey man. Oh man. 100%. 100%. You say, what have you done? I went from this to all of this. In 51 years, it took me 51 years to look this good. I'm just kidding. But you can tell that I'm not in growth where I used to be because of just looking. I ought to just be able to look at you and see growth. From year to year, it should be noticeable that you are growing taller for God. Growth in action, growth in appetite, growth in appearance. Guess what else grows? It will get quiet right here. You know what else grows? My apparel. Brother Craig's done waving his hanky on me and he's... coat. I don't know what size this is. I think it is a... I can't see, brother, and I know you're blind as a bat. Can you see pretty good? What does that say? Oh, it makes me feel good. I thought it was a 42. Was that funny? 42 or a 40? Some are 42, some are 40. put this on that little baby right there. You can put that little baby down the sleeve. As you grow physically, so you grow up in your apparel. Now I know, now listen, I know what some of you are thinking. Not in today's fashion, preacher. Not in today's fashion. You're still supposed to wear the size that you wore to kindergarten when you're graduating. Yeah. You're supposed to wear something that's about 13 sizes too small so you can brag about what size you wear. But you say nothing about all of that that's going every which way in all directions. The muffin top. Remember me talking about that the other day? The muffin top. Squeeze it all in and it squishes all out. There's nothing spiritual about that. Hello? There's nothing modest about that. There's nothing modest about that. When you dress in a fashion that is tight and suggestive and revealing, that is immodest and unscriptural. Amen. Your thigh is your nakedness. The Bible says that. Your thigh starts at your knee. Boy, that's deep. Now, we're really getting deep tonight in the preaching. Amen. That's right. I'm so sick of it. Everywhere I go, I'm so sick of it. All you see is skin. I'm not talking about there in the world where you think that's pretty well normal. I'm talking about in church. You can't even look at somebody while they sing a special because they're showing their flesh. Amen. As you grow physically, you change sizes. You grow in your apparel. And so it is when you get saved and you grow, and you grow, you're to grow in that area as well. Amen. That's the truth, isn't it? And so there's growth in all these areas. You won't believe this, but that's just the introduction. And it's time to go. But I felt like I needed to spend all that time of laboring on that point of growth. And I'm telling you, there's verses that you need to familiarize yourself with in the Word of God. Can I give you a couple of those quickly? Ephesians chapter 4. Let me give you that one, and then I'll give you a couple in Peter, and then we'll say a few things to be done. Like you believe that. Ephesians chapter number 4, and Paul is dealing with these verses starting in verse 7 down through verse 16, and he's dealing with growth. He's dealing with growth. Listen, God gave gifts unto men, verse 7 and 8, God gave gifts unto men. Those gifts are listed in verse 11. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Listen to this. Here it comes. And unto a perfect man, complete man of a full age, mature, a perfect man unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, here we go, may grow up. Everybody hear that? May grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, and maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Of course, we all know what 1 Peter 2 tells us. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may what? That you may grow thereby. 2 Peter chapter 3, in verse number 17 and 18. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing that ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Now listen to this. Peter is saying, you better watch out, you better beware that you be led away, that you be led away with the error of the wicked and fall from your steadfastness. How do we do that? How do we prevent falling? How do we prevent falling from steadfastness and being led away by the error of the wicked? How do we prevent that, Brother Silas? Verse 18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to whom be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Amen. So there you are. Growth is the great prevention against spiritual decline, spiritual detour, spiritual deviation, and falling from your own steadfastness. Now let's go back. I don't have time, Lord mercy. I preached all night on the introduction. Let me show you this right quick. If I'm to grow, Brother Preston, if I'm to grow, the first thing that Paul deals with in verse 11 is my listening. Write down that word, listening. Paul is addressing in verse 11 a listening problem. You can see growth or the lack thereof in your life by your ability to hear and listen. Look what it says. Now I'm just going to bump these instead of just really preach them out. I'm just going to bump them and go on and let you study them at home. Because I know you're going to study tonight after you go home. That was about funny, nearly. Of whom we have many things to say, hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. Seeing that you're dull of hearing. You know what the word dull means? Sluggish, slow, lazy, slothful. Paul said, you know why you're still immature and you've not grown? You're growing old, but you're not growing up. You know why you're not growing? You do not have a desire and an intensity about listening to the Word of God. Amen. When I got saved, now listen, you know my testimony. Most of you that's been here, you know my testimony, how I ran away from home over the issue of going to church. That was my pre-converted, before salvation attitude. I went to church all my life, but I got to the place to where I thought, buddy, nobody's going to tell me what to do. And daddy was telling me what to do. You either go to church, or you not be here when I get back, or suffer the consequences. And I've been introduced to the consequences before, and they weren't not pleasant. So I thought, I'll show you. I didn't say that. I didn't say that verbally. I knew better. Daddy would have took care of business right on the spot, and I wouldn't have been able to leave or to go to church. But I just thought it. I said, I'll show you. They left. I gathered my stuff, and I left. Make a long story short, I'm telling you, that was my attitude toward church. But when I got saved, listen, when I got saved, immediately my attitude changed toward church. I wanted to go. Never have I ever been asked to come to church. Never. I wanted to get in on, Miss Seals, when I got saved, I started wanting to get in on everything and anything at church that I could get in on. Nobody had to ask me to come to Sunday school. I wanted to get in on all I could get in on. Sunday school, preaching, opening of Sunday school.
Right. Amen.
Amen. I mean, opening of Sunday school, that's important.
Right.
Giving out the Word of God. And I wanted to get in on all of it. Sunday morning preaching, Sunday night preaching, Wednesday night preaching. If they were somebody preaching at the rest home, I was involved. If somebody were preaching on the street, I was involved. I wanted all I could get. And I believe God helped me. I didn't see it too much then. You can't hardly see growth until some time has elapsed. But I couldn't see it then, but God enabled me because of my hunger for the Word of God and my appetite for the Word of God, Brother Mark. God enabled me to do some growing quick. God helped me to grow. And I'm going to tell you, I don't believe it's God's will for people to remain immature for years and years and years and years and years. I don't believe it's God's will for you to go with a dull attitude toward the Word of God, a sluggish attitude toward the Word of God, as if it doesn't matter. You would be shocked how many people that might be even sitting in this building tonight, you wouldn't dare tell me, but you're really bored with church. You're really bored with preaching. You'd rather get a text from a friend than get a message from heaven. Yeah. Dull of hearing. Have a listening problem. When you're not growing, you have a listening problem. Listen, church, if you're going to grow, it's going to start right here. Hello? Point to your ear. It's going to start right here. Your growth is going to start with your listening to the Word of God. Listening to it in your daily devotions. Listening to God as He speaks to you throughout the day. Have a listening ear to God's Word. So there's a listening problem that was the cause of this lack of growth. And they stair step. One problem leads to the next problem. The listening problem then turned out to be a learning problem. He goes right out of verse 11 and goes into verse 12 and he starts talking to them about, hey, for the time you should have been, you ought to be teachers, having need that one teach you again. Brother Rochester, I preached for him a couple weeks ago. And you know what he said? And I would about say that I nearly got that problem. I don't know that. Brother Klepper, he said on a Sunday night, God walked through their church, moved in their church in a powerful way. And he said there was like 6 or 7 people come to the front to get saved. And he said, Miss Shelley, for the first time he realized I don't even have people in my church that knows how to lead somebody to God. How many in this church, if the need arose at church, in the altar, at home, on the job, at school, if the need arose and you got asked the question that that Paul and Silas got asked by the Philippian jailer, what must I do to be saved? Could you lead them to Christ? A listening problem turns out to be a learning problem. How many people in church are growing with their mental capacity and comprehension of scriptural truth? How many people, even while I'm preaching, really tries to stay focused and pay attention the whole time? See, I've got to stay focused. But the Lord knows, Brother Craddock, when I'm sitting right there and somebody else is preaching, I try to stay focused on what they're preaching about, because I know that a message is an unfolding story that God is trying to say to you. And if you let your mind go out in the world or for whatever reason, and then you come back into the service, you've missed it and you've lost it. I'm talking about a listening problem then leads to a learning problem. Instead of you being to where you could teach somebody, I wonder, listen, Lord help me, Jesus. I'm not trying to be mean tonight, but I'm just asking you. I wonder how many in this building that's been saved minimum 10 years, could you put a lesson together and teach? I appreciate Miss Susan and the ladybugs of her getting these little girls to teach in the ladybug meeting. Wonder how many young boys we got in here. If we had the boys section of that, there are the ladybugs, there'd be the ladybuds. I don't know what you'd be. But could you teach? Do you have enough knowledge of the Word of God to where you could get in a passage and put together a lesson? We are plagued with ignorance. You know what God said? God said in His Word, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge.
Right. Right.
Amen. Wouldn't hurt a bit as somebody's up here being dealt with, whether I'm dealing with them or somebody else is dealing with them, it wouldn't hurt a bit for you to kind of, if you're wanting to learn, just kind of come in there and get close and listen. Just listen to them as they're being dealt with. Amen? Because I'm telling you, friend, there's a great need for somebody to listen and learn enough to where you could turn and talk to somebody and teach somebody and give an answer to somebody about a scriptural truth. Well, we could preach on that. A listening problem, a learning problem. Then there's a third thing, which I guess is covered in that learning problem, is there's a laboring problem. Instead of you being able to labor and hold a teaching position or hold a teaching responsibility, or being able to teach others also. Parents, listen. Parents should be able to teach their children. Parents should be able to teach their children. Children ought to have a good knowledge of the Word of God because of the parents has taught them.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
That's right. That's good.
I've been preaching to Blake ever since, actually before he was born. If anybody in here ought to have enough sense to get out of the rain spiritually, it ought to be him. That's right, son. My daddy used to tell me, he said, son, I've taught you enough that should be able to educate a mule. He said, you still don't have horse sense. I don't know the full capacity of that. I never did figure it out. Amen. But no, I tell you what we're doing. We're letting the world teach our children. We're letting the world teach our children on the music they're to listen to and how they're to dress and the fads and fashions they're to be involved in and all of those kinds of things. A listening problem, a learning problem, a leaving problem. The Bible says in chapter 6, verse 1, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ. Leaving. That is, you leave them as a child will leave ABCs. You don't leave ABCs as if I don't never need you no more, but you leave them in the sense that you've grown in your usage of them. Instead of it being A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H. I said, what's that? No. Now you take the ABCs and make words out of them and make sentences out of them and make paragraphs out of them and can read books all made from ABCs. So you're to leave that, you're to leave those ABCs, the first principles of the doctrines of Christ, you're to leave them in that you develop a usage of them. It's not just ABCs. Now it's words and sentences and so forth. You're to leave that not only as the ABCs, as a child leaves ABCs and goes into words and sentences and so forth. But you're to leave also, it says, and not laying again the, what does it say? The foundation. That's a building term. You and I ought to leave the basics like a builder will leave the foundation. He does not leave it as if I don't need you, but he leaves it in that he builds upon it a structure. Well, anyway, you can study that out. There's a listening problem, a learning problem, laboring problem, a leaving problem. But also, of course, the other illustration on that leaving aspect is milk. You're leaving it and you're going into meat and the deeper things of God. But you know what all this results in? And I'm done. I know you don't believe that, but I am. A listening problem turns out to be a learning problem. A learning problem deals with a laboring problem. Instead of being able to teach, you still need to be taught. And then there's a leaving problem. Some of you maybe still are around the basics and there's no growth. That's why church and the things of God is not exciting to you, is because you're staying around the same old, same old, same old, same old, same old. Go to another levels. And you can experience God on a different level in a different way than you ever have before. But it all turns down to this. Listening, learning, labor, leaving turns out to be a living problem. People that are not listening and learning and they're not leaving in that light of thy preached it also are not living right. They're not living that deeper walk. God wants you to grow in your life. How do we go to another level? We grow to another level. And while growing old, may we grow up. I cannot stress to you how important spiritual maturity is. I will say this and I'm done. Every church problem that I've ever had here or in a church in South Carolina, or any church I've even heard about that's had problems, it's always a maturity issue. Always. Somebody get to acting a little childish. Somebody acting a little babyish. Get their feelings stuck out on their arm and their feet, you know, the way they walk through the crowd with their feelers stuck out. And several will be sure to bump into them, and then they'll get the poochie lip and go home. Let's not be immature. Church, listen. Yes, we're on the brink. God's moving. God's blessing. God's helping us. God's taking us somewhere as a church. But if we do not grow with it, it will fizzle out. Because immaturity cannot support spirituality. Man, that's a good statement. Immaturity cannot support and sustain spirituality.